Let's pray. Holy Father, merciful Lord, we just thank you and praise you again that we can come together here, Lord, and just worship you in spirit and in truth, and let your Holy Spirit guide us and direct us, because you will bring us into all truth. And we ask you this night, Father, that our hearts and our ears be open to what you have to say for us tonight, that we truly, Lord God, will glean from your word this night, each and every one of us, Lord, individually and collectively. So guide us by your Spirit tonight. Help your servant just to allow your Spirit to guide him tonight and forgive him for his many transgressions. And I thank you, Lord, because you do forgive. You're faithful, and I thank you for that. So tonight, Father, cover us with your wings. Fill us, Lord God, with just your discernment to get to, from you this night what each of us need. Oh, Father, we just thank you so much. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you did it all for us and that you continue to. And you never leave us. You never forsake us. You're always with us, guiding us as we listen to your Spirit. So tonight, we truly be open to all that you have for us. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
All right, we're going to finish Galatians tonight. And, of course, then if we're going to finish Galatians, we must be in chapter 6, because there's only six chapters. And we're going to start at verse 11, and we're going to finish to verse, I believe, 18. All right? Any questions so far? Good. Verse 11, see with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. And if you study this, go into the commentaries, I've got about 35 commentaries, and there's about 35 different things that this might be. But if you you can write this down, we don't have to look them up. Romans 16:22, 2 Titus, 1 Corinthians 16:21, close, Thessalonians, I didn't put down the verse, but you can find it if you look it up. And Colossians 4:18. All of those letters show where Paul did write some. But even your authors today, most of your authors today have a scribe that writes for them. They dictate it and they're written. And so this particular one, why he said with large letters, some say because he's had trouble with his eyes. But Scripture doesn't say that. They said the thorn in the flesh is his eyes and so on and so forth. But the Scriptures are silent on that. Now, do you want Jim Manning's interpretation of it?
No.
Somebody say yes.
Yes.
Thank you. He probably had lousy handwriting like mine. Arlene has to write everything for me. So that's my interpretation. But often throughout, and I never noticed this until I started studying this, that different times he did break in or somebody else was writing it. You know, Romans is credited to Paul, but it says in there that, you know, somebody else was writing it. So it was interesting, to say the least. But anyway, all those are in there. So it could have been his eyes. It could have been bad handwriting. It could be 101 different things, but the Scripture is silent. And I heard somebody say, when the Scripture is silent, yeah. Okay. Did y'all hear that? No, I was talking to the audience. So a lot could be said about it, but why? It's there. He said, large letters I have written to you, and so on and so forth. So do whatever you want to do.
It means he was emphasizing something.
That could be that he was writing in large letters. Okay, right. All right. And as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. So we know what we've been dealing with here from chapter 1 till now. Who are we dealing with? Or who was Paul dealing with?
Judaizers,
yes. And it's finishing with that. So it was for a good showing for them, wasn't it? They wanted self-recognition. They said, yes, you have to have Jesus, but also there's certain parts of the law that you have to keep, and circumcision is one of them. Which even the Jews with the circumcision, They couldn't keep the law. Amen? And that's why Christ came, isn't it? So these guys are trying to make themselves look good, getting people to like them. Now, the persecution, they figured if this sect, this following of Jesus, could be recognized by the Romans, then the Jewish and the Christians, the persecution wouldn't be so bad because they would be a recognized religion in the Romans' eyes. Because the Jews were tolerated, weren't they? Their religion was tolerated. But the Christians were being crucified because, or not crucified, but persecuted. That's a good word. Persecuted, and that's a word I was looking for. Persecuted because they were considered as a sect. So these Judaizers that said, yes, Christ was their Savior, but you had to keep some of the law, they figured they wouldn't have to, you know, worry about this because we would be part of the Roman religious people. So there's different interpretations like of that, but I like that one. I like that one the best because it makes sense to me. Maybe nobody else. So they wouldn't have to the persecution or accepting the way of the cross. Okay? So it makes sense to me. And that's what I wrote down. They could include themselves with an official sanctioned religion of the Roman Empire along with Judaism. Make sense? Any other comment? Anybody? Okay, we'll go on. Thank you. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. What do you think he means here? What is he trying to get here? There again. Right, exactly. All over. Me, myself, and I want recognition. Look what I have done. Look what I have accomplished. These born-agains, I've talked them in to following part of the law. Do you see that today anyplace? Yeah. The church is rampant with it. And everybody in this fellowship come out of that type of relationship. Everyone in this room, you were under the law. You were born again, you were under the law. We put ourselves right back under the law. After we got saved, we were set free, flying high, and then we got involved in a fellowship. So now you got to do this. You got to look good. You got to stand up straight. And years ago, some of you remember, you got to wear a three-piece suit with a tie. And your shoes had to be shined. Legalism. Sunday's best. On Wednesday night, too. The legalism. And it's the same thing here. It's not new. Somebody once said, I read it someplace, there's nothing new under the sun. It's always the same. There's always those that are going to want to control us. Amen? There's always somebody that's going to want to control you. And that's why the Lord has set us free. And He has told us the truth will set you free. If you deviate from the truth, you're going to go right back under that law. You're going to be under somebody's grip, somebody's holding on you. And it's going to happen. And I'm not going to get political tonight because a pastor's here. But anyway, I know that he wouldn't. He's against this, and I know he is. We might lose our, what is it, 501c? But anyway, whatever. 501c. You can't have A or B, you got to have C. But with the three? Okay. All right. Control issue. You can thank Johnson for that. He's the one that got the law passed. So, it's all for control, all for show, for the individual that's doing it. And it's an awful way to live. I lived that way for almost 11 years. 11 years. And I saw some of you have lived longer than that under that. But glory to God, He set me free. He'll set anybody free that wants to be set. Some people are comfortable under the law. They are. They don't want to be set free. They want that delusion. They want somebody to tell them what to do and what not to do. They don't want to be free. But once you're set free, you don't want to go back. You don't want to go back under the law. You don't want to have somebody have total dominion over you. One person has dominion over me now other than Arlene, and that's the Lord. Amen? That's who I want to control me, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Not somebody else. I want to submit to our Lord and our Savior, the Lamb of God that took away my sin and set me free and set me up on that high mountain. And I don't want to get off that mountain ever again. The trials and the tribulations will come, but He's with me now. Before, when the trials and tribulation came, He wasn't with me. I was walking alone. I don't have to walk alone anymore. There used to be a song years ago, I walk alone, sit around alone, you guide me, as you're walking beside me. But anyway, we are totally set free, and as long as we keep our eyes on the finished work of the cross, we will never be put under that dominion again of that law. Amen? For now even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire, for they, I read that wrong, didn't I? How come somebody didn't correct me? For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but yet they want us to. Amen? All right. And anyway, the title of this is for anybody, Glory Only in the Cross. Glory Only in the Cross, okay? Because you're going to see the whole point here in a minute or two if I can get to it. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. How often have you read this? How often have you said that? But how often of the things of the world just grabbed a hold of you? Come on. Amen. It happens. Why does it happen? Because we've taken our eyes off of Him. We've taken our eyes off of our freedom that He's given us to us. I was talking about being under the law, but you can be under that law of greed. The world is just pushing that greed, pushing all this at us constantly. Every time you turn on that stupid TV, it's there. This and that. And sex sells everything. Everything you buy, sex is selling it. To the guys anyway. I don't know about the ladies, but to the guys, I don't care what it is. Gum. Spearmint gum. Some chick comes out half-dressed. I love spearmint gum. It's a constant bombardment from the world to get us back to where we're not boasting in the glory of the cross. We're not proclaiming that in our inner being, because all of this draw from the enemy. What did I write down here? Hypocrisy. That's exactly what all of this is. The world is a pull of elements. It's a constant struggle. Every time you go driving down the street, well, they don't have you noticed? Have you noticed they don't have billboards on 19 anymore? I was noticing that the other day. No billboards. If they fall down, they don't replace them. So we used to have the billboards. But no matter where we go, that constant tug, that constant element being thrown at us, always to get us off of our focus. And once our focus is taken off, and then that little pull, how many do you believe that if you continue in a little sin, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger? It grabs you. And then it's harder and harder to get rid of, unless you confess it. Confess your sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And everybody in this room sins every day. And if you say you don't, you've already sinned. The Bible said, if it's not done in faith, it's sin. And what does that mean? Got any Greek scholars in here? You know what it means? You know what it means? If you don't do it in faith, it's sin. That's what exactly what it means. Regardless of what anybody else says, that's what it means. But He is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins. We forget how holy God is. We try to bring Him down to our level with some of the songs. Not these songs tonight. These are fantastic songs. But a lot of this worship today is bringing God down to our level. And that, to me, is blasphemy. You don't bring God down to our level. And they said, oh, He's my friend. Yes, He's my friend. But He's the Lord God Almighty. And there's no human thing that can compare to Him. Okay? We make up in our little minds how we think He is or He should be, but He is holy, pure, undefiled. But He loves us. And that love will never change, no matter what I say or what I do. But I'm not going to try to bring Him down to my level. He's holy. He's pure, unadulterated love and mercy and grace and holiness. And who am I? I'm a worm without His Holy Spirit living in my life. So don't ever say that our sins are forgiven past, present, and future, which are, but yet still we sin and we must ask for forgiveness. There's teachings out there that says you don't have to ask for forgiveness, because if you do, then you're not trusting in Christ. And that's garbage. Stay with the Scriptures. Do not deviate from the Scriptures. John said, when you sin, not if or once in a while, but when you sin, you confess your sin. Because He's faithful and He's just. And that's the beauty of this walk with the Holy One, the Pure One. Amen. 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 Just like the woman with five husbands. Go and sin no more. But you got to be careful there too. Because we know we're going to sin again. We have a sin nature. And we're going to have that sin nature. But the difference between those that are sinning and us that sin, you know the difference, I hope. Our life is not a life of sinning. Theirs is a life of sinning. Mine was a life of sinning. Everybody in this room before Christ was a life of sinning. Now we sin, but our life is not a life of sinning. Amen? But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. The whole focus here is that if we focus on the things of the world, the things we think we want, the things we think we need, and we dwell on them and we dwell on them, before you know it, we're not even walking the way we should be walking. We're walking right back the way we were before Christ came into our lives. And sometimes it's very, very subtle. I've been having some health issues. And everybody does. I'm not trying to think I'm somebody else or better than anybody else. But I started focusing on a couple of the issues. And before you know it, I was getting angry. And that anger was starting to build up. Just ask Jetta next time you see her. And finally, go, Lord, got a hold of me. Who is your source? Who is your supplier? Who's your healer? This is what He's saying to me. Who are you going to rely on? I'm all you really got. And He's all I really have. Regardless of whether I get my medication or not. He's in charge. You know, He's the one that's truly in charge. What I'm trying to express to you tonight, that if we allow ourselves to focus on these things that are bothering us, or these things that we want and we know we shouldn't want, or you know what I'm saying? It'll get a hold of you. And before you know it, you're so enveloped in this that you're not even thinking straight. You're not even thinking straight. And when you're not thinking straight, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. And if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, you're in a gang of hurt. You're in a gang of hurt. Let's glory and boast in the cross, not in our infirmities, not in the things we think we should have or the things that we don't have, because we have exactly everything that we need. Everything. Everybody in this room has everything that they need right now. We don't need anything else than what we've got. And if we get it, good. Icing on the cake. But I don't need any more than I've got. I need more of Him. That's all I need more of. Not material things. None of that. I just need more of Him in my life. And I only get it one way. Right? Prayer. Speaking to Him. Listening to Him as He speaks to us. Through His Word. Through our spirit. Our spirits were dead. Now they're alive. Spirit to spirit. But if our spirit is dead, trespasses and sins, we don't hear the Spirit because He can't speak to us. But now that our spirits have been revived, that new life in us, with Him living in us, and we can keep that focus where it should be on that finished work of the cross, that's our salvation. Amen? Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creature. We are the new creature in Christ, set apart for His glory. We are being sanctified anew each and every day, because the sanctification will never be complete till we close our eyes. Our salvation is solidified. I'm saved, you're saved, I know I'm going to heaven. If I die tonight, I'm going to heaven. But my sanctification is an ongoing, it's a continuum constantly. As we walk with Him, as we listen to His Word, as the Holy Spirit guides us, we are saints. We don't have to wait and die and have somebody say, well, Jim or Manny or somebody was a saint. We're saints right now, because that's what the Bible says. And what does saint mean? It just means somebody set apart for the Lord God Himself. Amen? So we are set aside, and He is the one that makes us whole. We don't make ourselves holy. We can't do good works to make ourselves holy. He's making us holy. He's the creator of holiness, because He is holy. And the Bible says, be ye holy as I am holy. And that's only going to happen one way, with Him working in our lives. Amen? So the holiness, just like the salvation, the holiness comes from Him and Him alone, not ourselves. All we are to be is what? It starts with an O. Obedient. That's all. He doesn't want sacrifice. He doesn't want any of that. He wants obedience. And sometimes it's so hard, isn't it, to be obedient? Oh, goodness. Praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to just read these three and expound a little bit, then we're going to quit. And as many as walk according to this rule. What rule? The rule that He just set forth, right before this, right? Glory in Christ. Boast in the Lord. That's it. Walk according to this rule. We will have peace and mercy. Peace and mercy. When we follow His rules, not our rules, not the world's rules, not our government's rules, they're going to be imposed on us. Outwardly, we're going to have to probably conform to some of them, but inwardly we know who's on the throne, and eventually all of this will come to a great halt. Amen? I was reading, I got an email from the Bereans. It's already started in Russia. A pastor was arrested for preaching the gospel outside of his church. Putin put that law in 2 weeks ago. So he's put in jail. And individuals can be fined, I don't know, $100, $200. But if missionaries get caught, they can be fined up to $2,000 in Russia. And it's coming to a town near us. Amen? It's coming. But this is another reason for the scriptures to be embedded into our spirits and our souls. Because there is a day coming. I don't know. I don't make predictions because I can't. I'm too dumb. But I truly believe that we're going to be raptured out of here pretty soon. Pretty soon. And I'm not going to say we're not going to have any trials or temptations or anything, because I believe we will. But we know we will not see the wrath, because Jesus took our wrath. Amen? So we won't see that, but we will definitely have something happen in Green Valley and Sarita. So, praise the Lord. But as many as walk according to this rule, everything that He's put before us, if we walk in that walk and we allow the Holy Spirit and we're obedient to His leading and we're listening and we're walking with one another in faith, loving one another, because Jesus said they will know you're my disciples by your love for one another. Okay? Remember that, Karen. Just remember that. This rule, this peace and mercy will be yours. Will be yours. So from now on, let no one trouble you. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. The rule is walk in the Spirit. Don't walk after the flesh. Don't allow these things that are thrown at us every day, every waking moment, to grab hold of us and hang on to us. Not even a little one. Get rid of it right away. Confess your sins. You can't hide anything from Him anyway. So why not be honest with Him? Be obedient. He's merciful. He's all-loving. He's all-forgiving. Amen? We never have to worry as we walk with Him, no matter what we do, no matter what we say, because He's always there. He's always loving us. That love will never change. Never. No matter what we do, that love remains steadfast. He is faithful and just. So the whole point here is, glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Boast about Him in your life. Share Him with others. Glory only in the cross and that finished work. Because without the cross, without that finished work, we would be just as hopeless as the rest of the world. There would be no hope for us. There would be no peace. There would be no mercy. There would be no hope. There would be no forgiveness. No forgiveness. And how many of you don't need forgiveness?